E2. Number 3A.
Now we want to read what is a matrix element. You have those definitions on your sheet, worksheet. What is a matrix element? The definition reads, a matrix is a rectangular arrangement of elements. So we can see that a matrix consists of elements. And now, what are those elements? An element is a primary component in the sense that it is not possible to divide an element and at the same time retain the properties which are relevant to the associative context. Elements form the constituent parts of magnitudes. Their interrelation constitutes the structure of a magnitude. So what is meant by it is that if you have some kind of a subject as a whole, for instance, like the whole textbook, or a whole chapter in the textbook, or a whole book in the Bible, if you have a magnitude or a whole or a big subject, and we know that that subject consists of parts or elements, then, and if that subject is presented in a matrix form, then each part or each element therefore partakes of the nature of the whole, so that actually in each part, that is in at each point of intersection of the categories, you have a kind of reflection of the whole, the characteristic of the whole, so that each part of a whole always has a relationship to the whole. And therefore, each part can never be divided up again without losing, actually, its value within the whole. Well, this sounds at this moment very theoretical, but you will see as we go along, these things become absolutely natural to us. Just for those who know already a little bit about matrices, what is meant by it, that, say, if we have a 4x4 matrix, actually I should say a 4x4 matrix, like we have in John Dolly's matrix, then we have 16 point of intersection. 4x4 give 16 point of intersection, that is 16 element. 16 elements, and so each value which we put into one of those 16 boxes, let's call them boxes, those places where there is a point of intersection, that's perhaps the easiest way of saying it, that in a 4x4 matrix you get 16 boxes, and the value within each box is a matrix element. And that matrix element always has a characteristic, first of all, of the whole, in our formula, the A, the capital A. And each box has a value that is determined by two categories, a vertical and a horizontal. And therefore, that value consists, so to say, always of three factors constituting an element, namely the A and the I and the J value, so that each element is clearly defined always through those three factors of that element. And that element, therefore, can never be divided up again. It becomes a unit, and this is one of the most important things to see when we do matrix work, because we can always judge if somebody presents to us something as a matrix, we can always judge if it is actually a matrix or just a chart by analyzing if those matrix elements really reflect always those three factors, the A, the whole matrix tone, and then the vertical and the horizontal category. I think if we see that, then more or less we are on safe ground and have said practically everything one can say about it. Yes, the next definition in matrix element reads that matrices afford a more accessible general view of the functional interconnections of elements within a system. This is really showing the purpose of a matrix or the value of a matrix, the practical value of a matrix, that it affords a more general view. With a matrix, we should be able to take a big subject and see in just one view, because usually a matrix is just on one page, or only on a half a page or a quarter of a page. It's a small representation, really, of the whole, and so with one view, we can really get access to the general meaning of the whole. And not only that, that one sees the whole, but through the arrangement of the two indices, we have at once a insight into the functional interconnections of the elements. We see where every place value, where every matrix value is in relation to the other place values or matrix elements. Say those who know, for instance, the textbook as a matrix, they will see that, for instance, the chapter Science, Theology and Medicine is at the place value of the Christ as the Christ, indicating that that sixth chapter, Christ as a Christ, cannot be taken just as one chapter, but that it is always a place value within the whole, and through the relationships that are surrounded by that place value, by that box, we can see that the sixth chapter apparently will only make sense if it is placed where it is, namely that it is in the second vertical column, which means that before you can understand that sixth chapter, you at least have to understand the first five chapters, and also see that that chapter has horizontally a certain place value within the horizontal line. And so you can get all the relationships from that chapter to all the other chapters, and in order to see what function that specific chapter has within the whole textbook. And this we will see is of greatest practical value, especially when we consider practice and the application of each chapter in human experience. So this definition here is very interesting, and I think it's worthwhile pondering over, that really matrices afford a more accessible general view. It takes us away from the atomistic thinking into structural consciousness, where we no more consider a chapter or any element of a whole as just as a part, but always just as an aspect of the whole. So let's keep in mind that every box, every element reflects the whole formula, the A and the I and the J, in a very specific way. And so you can feel right away, though it is at this present moment just theory, but in 5 days it's no more theory, it's beautiful, warm, tangible, living, practical, everything we wish it should be, but that we see that a matrix element always reflects the whole matrix formula. Always the A and the I and the G, J in a specific way. That's about matrix element as definition, I want to say just a few words about the symbolization of a matrix element, so that we also have a general terminology, a convention of symbolizing matrix elements. I have already said that each place value, each box, is symbolized first by the vertical and then second by the horizontal. So if we have, for instance, a 4x4 matrix of work, Christ, Christianity, and science, we would, for instance, call, say, in the textbook, we would call the second chapter, which is Atonement and Eucharist, and which appears in the first vertical, we would call that the Word, because it's in the vertical of the Word, as the Christ, because it's the second one in the horizontal. So Atonement and Eucharist we would symbolize by the symbol W, Word, and then a, what you call a word, and then what you call this? A stroke that is leaning, a slash, you call it slash. Word slash Christ. You would call the second one, say, word reflected by the Christ, or we call it in speaking, we call it word as Christ. So always the first one is the vertical and the dominant word, and then the subtone is slash Christ, and Christ would be the subtone, therefore the line. And you can see, and this is another point we have to be clear about, that matrix work, though in mathematics it is a whole field of mathematics, it is not a field of algebra. And so we have to see the difference between algebra and symbolization and matrix symbolization. In algebra, you know, I hope from your school years, that in algebra, if you have two symbols like A and B, and you multiply A by B, then it is exactly the same, it is equal to B E. Do you remember that from your school days? That you can exchange the symbols, but the value is exactly the same. So AB is exactly the same as BA. Whereas in matrix work, it is different. In matrix, now let me go back just one minute back. So if we would have, say, in algebra, word and Christ, WX, then in algebra it would be the same as XW. See? Because that's the convention, international convention. But when you come to matrix work, then it is different. In matrix work, if you have A at the point of intersection of B, then that is not equal. It's unequal, B, A. So you see the difference in symbolization. So if one is not aware that we are using matrix symbols and think perhaps of algebra, then the whole thing doesn't work anymore. So in matrix work, therefore, word slash Christ, word as Christ, is not equal. Is not equal Christ as Word. Christ as Word in the textbook would be the chapter on animal magnetism. And you can easily see that the Atonement and Eucharist has not the same value and the same message as the chapter on animal magnetism. So keep that in mind, that when we talk about, say, word as the Christ, or that is completely a different concept than the Christ as the Word. Every time the first one is the dominant and the second is secondary, is the subtone. Yes, I think by having said what I have been teaching up to this point, I have said practically everything about terminology, about the mechanics of matrix, and therefore I feel we are equipped with the necessary terms and concepts. Therefore, before I go on and show how all these concepts can be applied to the science of being, I want to go back to your worksheet and read now various passages under the subtitle Purpose of Matrix. Perhaps you take now that working sheet and we read all about the purpose. You see, you can ask that very great fundamental question. Why should we approach the whole subject of the science of being by the method of matrix? Why not stick to the old way of reading a text? And just reading a text and pondering each sentence, and when you have found an answer and feel that you have understood each sentence, then we go to the next sentence, and from there to the next sentence. Therefore, read a text linearly, in a linear way. Why not do that, or even do that, what most just open the books and read at random where you open it, and just do that, as we have always done. What is the difference between that and matrix? Do we gain anything by approaching the subject through matrix work? That should be, so to say, our great question. What is the advantage of matrix approach compared with the old atomistic approach? We should know that advantage, or else we say, why should I spend a whole week on something which gives me no advantage? I think we are egotistic enough to ask that question, and I think it's quite right and practical. We should gain something from it. So I have, during this year, tried to pin down those points which would show up the gain which we will have when doing this work. So let's read here about the purpose. This is from Köstler's The Act of Creation, and it reads that the word matrix denotes any ability, habit, or skill, any pattern of ordered behavior governed by a code of fixed rules. So at least we gain here something, that it says that by approaching the subject in a matrix way, we can see the pattern of ordered behavior. We begin to see the relationships which exist between the parts, between the atomistic facts, and begin to put facts together into relationship. And as you know, only when we have relationship and order relationship, that then only we really begin to touch science, because science, as Ronofsky always put it in a very short way, is saying that science is not a fact-finding activity, but a fact-arranging activity. Therefore, it's the order, the arrangement, the relationship, which are much more important than the facts per se. And naturally we can see that the text in a book, Bible or textbook, I mostly now speak when I speak about the subject in relation to the Bible and the textbook, because these are our two textbooks and are relevant for our subject. With the pattern and the ordered behavior, that actually the textbook as a text is is the same text for every reader. But the text only prints the facts. That which is black and white are stating the facts. The relationships between them is something that we have to put into it. We have to see into it. We can't see the relationship printed black and white. So this is the reason why everybody has a different concept and gets a different interpretation of the text, of the same text, because they put another relationship between those words. So relationship is more important than the facts. Matrix is mostly concerned with relationship, as you have seen, because every place value is showing forth at least three relations, namely the whole subject, the A, and the two indices, I and J, so that those values are not just single, isolated facts. That's the great difference. There are then no more facts, but they are considered as point of intersections of categories. And in this way, one begins to see the flow of a text. One begins to see the behavior of ideas, the interrelationships. Well, let's take the next statement, where it says, a matrix is an aid to remembering the succession of operations. So here we have another benefit from matrix work, that it aids remembering. It is therefore a memory support. And you know how often students of Christian Science come and say, oh, you know, I don't have a very good memory. I can't always keep everything in mind. I forget a lot and things like that. And I always say to them, thank God you do. Because memorizing and keeping a lot of data in one's memory is not helping anything in understanding a subject. That's what makes us understand the subject are the relationships and not the facts by themselves. So actually true education and logic education should not be a fact-finding activity, but to show how facts are interrelated with each other and what right interrelationship is and what wrong interrelationship is. This is what matrix does. It says, I help you because, say, if we have a matrix as we had yesterday, 4x7 matrix, well, that's already 28 datas, and we could reduce them just to two categories. And in remembering just the categories, you can have that creative act of establishing always anew through understanding the new datas. You can forget all that those datas in the boxes. As long as you just know what are the indices, you can always reconstruct the point of intersection through understanding, not through memory. So it is a great memory support, and it aids remembering the succession of operation. Say, if we know that Matthew is built up in the word order, then that's all what I have to remember. Then I can say, all right, then what must be in mind? And I can say, in mind must be all that which has to do with the parent mind and with the genealogy and so on. If after mind comes spirit, because that's the word order, I know it must have to do now in Matthew or something about spirit, and spirit is birth, and I know, oh yes, then all those three stories about the baptism, sorry, not birth, baptism comes, the three baptism. And so it is a terrific help in seeing the structure and order of a subject without having to have a good memory. It follows and goes on and says that it needs few symbols. That it needs few symbols. And, all right. It needs few symbols. Yes. Could you see that any subject could be reduced right back to that simple formula, A-I-J. And with that, I can make a mind matrix, I can make a Christ matrix, I can make a divine science matrix, I can do anything. The moment I know that it must incorporate just those three factors. So it uses very few symbols, as each symbol acquires a special meaning according to its particular box within the grid. Again, once I have those few symbols, by combination, I can even symbolize every box within the whole array of the matrix.